Good morning. We're doing the laws of Muktzeh, and now we're up to what we know as Muktzeh, the classical Muktzeh, Kli Shenachtor Leisu. Meaning the classical Muktzeh we're familiar with is an instrument that is used for things that are prohibited on Shabbos. So that would be your pen, that would be your car, that would be your shaver, that would be your MP3 player. All those things which we call mukta classically, these are mukta because what you usually do with them is a prohibited task on Shabbos. So that includes your lawnmower. That includes all the instruments you use to do prohibited things on Shabbat. Now, here, Chazal tell us, you're not allowed to move it mechama letzel. You're not allowed to move it out of the sun to the shadow, to the shade. And the idea behind it is, I'm not allowed to move this object litzorech gufo, for its own benefit. So that means sometimes people have a question, they left their car window open. What are they allowed to do? They left the car door open. What are they allowed to do? So if there's a danger that a kid will climb in and release the handbrake, so then you have a danger of pikuach nefesh. That's a different question. But let's assume your only concern is that rain is going to come into the car. So I come from the generation where you didn't always have a car light that turned on when you opened the door, and you had these things that you cranked in order to roll the window up and roll the window down. Yeah, you guys familiar with this? This still exists today? I don't know. Right? So the question was always, can you open the car door and roll up the window, or without opening the car door, just roll up the window?
That's
so
mechanical,
but the car is muktzeh. I'm not allowed to move the car. So what I could do is, if without moving the car, I could bring out a tarp, or I could bring out, let's say, a plastic tablecloth. I don't think that's making a dent, because if I have it hanging down, so I put a weight on top. I got to put something that's non-mukta, and then I can cover it. So I can't roll up the window. So again, why do I want to move it now? The tzorach gufo. You forgot your cell phone outside, and it's going to get destroyed in the sun. So a cell phone, we said, might be mukta mechamat chesron kis, but when you're concerned that something will get ruined in the sun or in the rain, that doesn't permit moving it on Shabbos. On the contrary, that's where Chazal prohibited moving an object that's muktzeh. The classical case that I'm not allowed to move muktzeh is when I'm concerned it will get ruined in the sun or in the rain. So Chazal said I'm allowed to cover it, but I'm not allowed to move it. So Shabbos once came in, and I forgot my cell phone on the table. I have a little boy that likes destroying my cell phones. So I'm not allowed to move it. Now I got to cover it. I got to do something he shouldn't see it. But move it, I cannot. So even this mukta, which is a relatively lenient form of mukta, kli shem nachtor le'isul, the vessel is used for something prohibited. So there we know I'm allowed to move it litzorech gufo, if I want to use the object for something, or litzorech mekomo, if I need its space. But if I don't need either one of those, so then I'm not allowed to move it just because I'm concerned the object will get ruined. Once I have it in my hand, so then I'm allowed to move it as far as I want. I can move it to another room. I don't have to drop it the first moment I can. On the contrary, I'm allowed to move it. So if I left my pen on the Shabbos table and now I want to sit down and eat and it's in my way, I'm allowed to pick up the pen and bring it back to its place. If I left something on the bed, and it's muktzeh kli shem nachtor le'isur, I'm allowed to move it to wherever is necessary. But if I left money on the bed, if I left my wallet on the bed, then I run into a different problem, because you remember we said money is something that is muktzeh mechamat gufo. Its entity is muktzeh, because it's not really a vessel. So now we're moving forward in kli shem nachtor le'isur. When I have a vessel that is used for something prohibited, then I'm allowed to move it letzorch gufo, letzorch mekomo. So, I'll give you a leniency here that most people don't know. It's an important leniency, and Rav Moshe Feinstein used to do this himself every Shabbos. You have a lamp. So, a lamp has a light bulb, and it's a kli shemlachto leisur. Let's say you want to move that lamp to another room. You need the light. So that's tzorech gufo. I need it. I'm using it. I'm allowed to move it. Rav Feinstein, every Friday night at the end of the meal, used to walk the lamp with him to the other room where he would learn. The same is true about a radiator. If you have a radiator that's running on Shabbat, the only issue you have with a radiator is that if the radiator is off, the radiator works on a thermostat. When you start rolling it, when you start moving it, very often that movement that moves the oil inside the thermostat turns it on. And that you're not allowed to do. So you would wait until it's on, and then you could move it from one place to another. That's okay. That's tzorech gufo. I need the actual radiator, the heat of the radiator. Yes?
When he was carrying the light, he was carrying a light that was plugged into the...
Yeah, plugged in. Plugged in lamp, yeah.
And can be carrying a candle.
A candle I would not be allowed to move. Right. A candle I could not move. No, not only because of that. There are other reasons. When you shift the oil in the candle, you're shifting the flame and the way it gets burned. The candle is a basis de devara asur. It's interesting that we don't view these things with a heat element the same as a candle. Even though we do say the heat element equals fire, but not in this sense. Meaning I'm not allowed to move a candle, but I am allowed to move a lamp that doesn't have a flame, right? No. It's a good question what the difference is. It's a good question why is it prohibited to move a lamp? The Chazon Ish himself was in doubt. What's the reason that I'm not allowed to move an oil lamp? Meaning, when we say an oil lamp is basis devar asur, one reason that's clear in the Shulchan Aruch is that when you shift the oil, you're shifting the way the flame burns, which doesn't exist in an electric lamp. But there seems to be in the Gemara another reason in terms of muktzah. And the Gemara says you can't move it. And there the question is, what's the muktzah? Is it the flame? What makes it muktzah? Meaning, which type of muktzah is it? And why can't I move it? But it is clear in the Gemara you can't move it. That's clear in the Gemara. We left off last week. What happens if by mistake you picked up muktzah? You thought it was a toy pen, you discover it's a real pen, you thought you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, someone told you, no, that's muktzah, you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. So then you're allowed to move it. Once it's in your hand, you're allowed to move it to wherever you want to put it away.
Well, that's also muktzah.
It's muktzah.
It's a toy pen.
If it's a pen that doesn't work, if it's a toy pen, if it doesn't really write, so then it's not muktzah. What can you do? Let's say you left your pen outside, your crayons. So crayons will melt in the sun. So you could bring the kids over there and say, let's sit down over here and play. Oh, the crayons are in the way. So then I need mekomo. I want to play with the kids over here. So then I'm allowed to pick up the crayons and move them away and sit down there and play. I'm allowed to do that. Even though part of the reason I'm playing over there is because I want to move those crayons because they're going to get destroyed. So where it's necessary, I am allowed to create a situation where it's tzorech mekomo. Right now I want that space. I'm allowed to come with the kids and say, I want to sit down in this place and play with you. Oh, there are crayons here. Let's pick them up and move them. The fact that in the back of my mind I really want to move them because I want to get them out of the sun, that's not a problem. Because Chazal were lenient in this mukta when it's a kli shem nachtol yisur. When it's a vessel that's used for prohibited activity, which again is the classical muktzah. It's the muktzah we encounter all the time. So that's your hammer. That's your pliers. That's your screw. Right? You left a screw out. What do you do with a screw or a nail? You do prohibited action on Shabbat, right? So that's a kli shem nachtol yisur. I'm allowed to say I want to work there and then move it and then sit down and play with the kids there. Yes. Binyam, you want to ask something? Yeah.
Because it doesn't have ink and it doesn't write.
It doesn't write, but it, you use it for something that's prohibited on Shabbat. Meaning you're... Right, but it's a part of a prohibited activity. You don't. It's called the stylus, I think. Right, the pen that you use on a cell phone or a computer screen. So the stylus, that pen, doesn't have a use other than to be used with a computer, which is prohibited activity on Shabbos. So if that's its only use, so it's a kli, it's a vessel. Shem nachtol liyisur, that the thing I do with it is prohibited. It has no ink. That's true. But its sole purpose is an activity which is prohibited on Shabbos. Kli shem nachtol
liyisur. Can you say with a pen you could like scratch your head? Or...
So that's tzorech gufo. That's where you say, I have a use for it right now. I need it.
You
have a splinter that fell off the... Okay, splinter is a bad example. But
so the stylus, do you need a designated for Shabbat? Or can
you... You don't usually use your stylus to clean out your teeth and scratch your head. That's not what you want to do with your stylus. It's not worth it. A stylus might, depending on how much it costs, it might fall under the category of mukta mechamat chesron kis, because it could be. I don't know. I'm saying they used to have very cheap styluses where you got them for like a dollar, and then you might really use them to scratch your head and stuff like that. But if it's an expensive one, like I saw, they have those that are really expensive that they work with a mouse pad. Those like that you sign on when you go to a store and you sign on the credit card, right? So that's a very expensive stylus, meaning you wouldn't use that for other things. So there it might even be muksa mechamat chesron kis. Yes?
I have a question. I don't understand why we're not allowed to touch or move stones on Shabbat because it's not clear.
Right? That's a totally different muksa. We discussed that 2 weeks ago. We said that it's a more stringent muksa. Because it has no use, because it's not a kli. Once it's a kli, so then we're more lenient. But a stone, we're more stringent about because it's not even a kli.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have that. So again, if we go back to our introduction to muktzeh, we gave the classical example of muktzeh. Muktzeh literally are figs that were put on the rooftop to dry. They went from being edible to being non-edible. We know that Chazal said that those figs, being that you've decided in your mind you're not going to use them on Shabbat, you're not allowed to touch them, you're not allowed to move them on Shabbat. And then we said, Chazal extended that and said, things that are not in your realm of use on Shabbat, they didn't want you to move on Shabbat. So if it's a vessel, it's closer to being within your realm of usage. It's a vessel I use. It's a hammer. I use it for prohibited actions on Shabbat. But at least it's a hammer. When I have a rock, when I have sand, so that's not even a kli. So that's a more stringent form of muktzeh. So then even if I needed it, the tzorch gufo, even if I needed it as a paperweight to hold down my tablecloth, I couldn't move it because it's something which is out of my realm of use when Shabbat came in. It was not even a vessel. So it was further away from my realm of usage when Shabbat came in. Okay, our classical example from the Mishnah, a hammer. So we said a hammer is a kli shem nachtol liyisur. I use it for prohibited actions, but I'm allowed to use it to open up a walnut or a coconut because that's tzorech gufo. I'm using it for its body for something that's permissible on Shabbos. And the same would be if you were fixing something before Shabbat, and when you come into the Friday night meal, you suddenly notice you left your hammer on the Shabbat table. So that's going to bother you. You want to put down your plate there. You want to put down the chon there. You're allowed to move it. That's tzorech mikomo. But if you just want to put it away because you're scared it's going to fall and get damaged, that's considered tzorech gufo. That's considered mechamal itzel. I want to protect the thing itself. So then I'm not allowed to move it on Shabbat. What if you have a pot? So he wants to say that a pot is a kli shem nachtol liyisur. But we know that there are pots we use on Shabbat, right? It's not so simple what he's saying here, because most of our pots, you might transfer the cholent into, you might transfer the soup into. He's talking about a pot that's designated for use on a weekday, that you'd only use that way. Now, even if we'd go with what he's saying, that it's a kli shem nachtol yisur, but if I need tzorech gufo, if I need it to put stuff into it, so then again, it would be permissible. Yeah. Well, I don't think they become muktzeh. Your milchik dishes, if you'll decide to eat a milchik meal, a milchik snack, they don't become muktzeh just because your meals on Shabbat are fleishik. Because it's not a... Which muktzeh is it? It's not a klishim nachtol yisur. There's no prohibition on Shabbos to eat on a milchik plate. Now, putting them away is a different deal. Chazal didn't want me to use my Shabbat as my time to organize the house. Because then I might end up spending Shabbat moving my bookshelves, my bookcases. So there's a general idea. Chazal didn't want me to spend my Shabbat cleaning up house. I can keep my house clean in a normal way. But to say, I'll leave the dishes in the dish rack and Shabbat morning or Shabbat afternoon, I'll clear the milchik dishes from the dish rack. That's not what Chazal wanted me to do. That's okay. Without tzorach mekomo.
Or why not also for tzorach mekomo? You're having a lot of guests. You need the area where the dish rack's occupied.
Tzorach mekomo is when I have mukta. Here it's not mukta.
Ah, okay, fine.
Here the issue is I'm not supposed to spend my Shabbat clearing dishes.
Got it. Okay.
But if I need it for Shabbat, that's fine. I can tell you that in our house, one of the things we try to do in order to make the kitchen prepared for Shabbat is clear off the counters, wash them down, and clear the dish racks. It's one of the things coming into Shabbat that the kitchen should look like it's ready for Shabbat. One of the things we do is to clear out the dish racks. It's not always doable, right? You know, you have short, early Shabbat in the winter, but when possible, that's our goal, that there shouldn't be pots and stuff in the dish rack going into Shabbat, which is also practical, because Friday night you're going to need the dish rack. But I'm saying even the milchik dish rack, we try to clear going into Shabbat. Tefillin. So we have a big machloket that goes back to the Rishonim about whether tefillin are mukta or not. There's the famous Mishnah in Eruvin. If you find tefillin outside on Shabbat, you're allowed to wear them to bring them in. You're allowed to wear two sets of tefillin to bring them in. You don't want them to get destroyed outside. So that's discussing the laws of Erev, and some want to say it's also discussing the laws of Muktzeh. So it's not so clear whether they're Muktzeh or not. Some want to say it's Muktzeh, being that you don't wear tefillin on Shabbat, it's a kli shem nachtoli isu. So we move them when necessary, meaning if tefillin are going to get harmed, you are allowed to move them. If tefillin stay in the sun, they'll get ruined. So if you see tefillin in right next to the window and the sun's going to shine on them and it's going to destroy them, then you could move them. But again, being that it's a machloket, so when you don't need to touch tefillin on Shabbat, you don't. And when it's necessary, we rely on the lenient opinions and we do move them. So the appropriate thing is that before Shabbat, you remove your tefillin from the bag. If you have tefillin and talit in the bag, so remove either the tefillin or the talit. If necessary, you'll be able to pull out the talit. But the more appropriate thing is that before Shabbat, you separate the talit from the tefillin. Okay, and that brings us to Kli Shem Nachto Leheter. Okay, pick up here.